Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter. Motherfucker, my name's Amin El Hassan. I'm joined, as always, by Big Derv, Black Trey, Rob Lopez on the production. We've got a little bit of a loaded show today, a lot of five mini topics rather than two or three long topics. But it's fun, man. I love the variety. I think you'll love it, too. We give a shout-out to a legend. And Pharrell Williams, it's his birthday today as we're recording. So we just wanted to quick walk through kind of his impact on us, on the music game. We also, of course, we recap Snowfall, the latest episode. Now they're gangbanging in the hood. We see Crips. We're going to talk about that. Speaking of Crips, MC8 has a podcast with the man known as Mob James. They tell a bunch of hood-ass stories, and we go through a couple of those. And the versus battle between the Izzy brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire. It was 4 hours long. Our recap is not that long, and we don't talk as much as Steve Harvey did. So you definitely want to check that out. But we want to start with some somber news because DMX, as the time of this recording, is hospitalized. And we just want to kind of touch on that. So let's get the show started. Also, real quick. Patreon.com/count the dings. If you are a Patreon, thank you so much for your support. If you're not a Patreon, go ahead and join. Trust me, it's worth it. You get all the bonus content, like the overflow episode that I promised you last week that didn't come out to this week. My bad. That's my fault. But anyway, it's here now. So go give it a listen. The extra Cinephobe episodes, the special edition Cinephobe episodes. I'm going to tell y'all right now. Trey, do you want in on this? The special edition one for this month for April is going to be 420. I'm not going to tell you what the movie is, but it's a 420 movie.
Yes.
All right. So Trey's going to be our special guest for that. And of course, all the other extra exclusives. So check it out. Patreon.com/count the dings. Make sure you are a member. Also, Stereo. Stereo is the app where we do our live shows. Download it. Follow us at Darth Amin, at Trayvon, at everybody else. Follow us. When we do our live shows, you'll get a notification. So make sure you are tapped in. Squeaky doors, clogs sing, finicky engines. When things break around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you just try not to think about it. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? That's a problem that needs to be fixed. So take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM right now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. Remember, get started today. You'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/BOM. DMX is in the hospital after an overdose. They got vigils going on outside of his hospital. I've seen like a bunch of kind of motorcycle people, Rough Riders stuff. They're all outside the hospital. Now I see Swiss Beats is going to do like a vigil. I don't know. What's happening, man? Like a prayer for DMX. That's happening today, right, as we're recording. Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that, Drew.
Yeah, it's a vigil.
Trey could have been there.
Could have pulled up, man, but it's still a panini. I'm a believer in power of prayer, you know, as a Christian, the Christian on the panel. Oh, my bad, Jerv, you are too, my bad.
No, don't do that, brother.
I thought you was an atheist, man. I don't know, bro.
Oh, what? No, come on, brother. I believe in my Lord and Savior.
I just messing with him, bro. It's cool, bro. But no, realistically. Yo, Jerv,
Jerry, what if you went to hell, man? Like you know, years from now,
I'd be mad as shit.
Your judgment day, and then God be like, "Yo, I heard Trey said that you were atheist, bro. You don't believe in me?"
Oh man, hope I don't ever be the guy
that'd be the first time in my life I ever ratted on somebody. I'd rat on you like shit too, Trey. Be like, "Yo, that nigga don't know what he's talking about."
Hey, you know how the nigga did the meme where he pointed at him. Nigga didn't believe in you. This nigga really didn't believe in you. Nah, happy resurrection day yesterday. But like, nah, that really took the wind out of my day, hearing about DMX. But it all goes back to what us watching the documentary and just kind of finding out that, you know, obviously this wasn't a choice. This was actually, he was tricked into this shit and he's been battling demons for so fucking long. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's a disease that I know too well. You know what I mean? Even my own mom dealt with, you know, addiction and stuff like that. And, you know, praise God that, you know, she's been able to, beat it and be able to be sober for 20 plus years, but everybody else isn't that fortunate. And, you know, obviously we finally got some eyes on X, and X looked happy, he was dancing, and, you know, we got to see him in Versus and things of that nature. And now to get this news that he's in a, you know, allegedly a vegetation state, but then also a coma. And we get so many different statements that we don't even know, but he's also so important to us that we don't even want to believe anything that could be in a negative state. So obviously, as you mentioned earlier about the visual, you know, and the prayer warriors around the world praying for him. And you know, I've seen people that's like, I'm not even religious and I'm praying, you know what I'm saying? Just because he's important, man.
It's wild, man. You know, I was thinking about this today. I'm glad we did the Versus when we did it so that he could see how much people loved him.
Right.
Yeah. And how much, you know, the rest of the, you know, the industry loved them, right? Because you got all those great stories from Snoop. And then obviously you had all those people, you know, checking in, tapping in via the comments in the middle of it. I know that nigga didn't read the comments, but I'm sure his people probably let him know. Hey, yeah. It's the deal, man. Like this, so-and-so said this and such chimed in or whatever. So, you know, that was one of those rare times where you get to feel the love and the appreciation for what you've done. And then obviously that Rough Riders Chronicles thing came out too. So it's like a little bit of a reminiscing there. I'm sure it spiked the spins on Spotify for them. Man, like I'm in disbelief. I'm just kind of like, nah, he's going to pull out of this.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because even when they said that he was, I guess it was something that came out and said he was breathing on his own and things of that nature. And then now, obviously, former manager coming out and saying some stuff. It's just like, nah, man, like life is fucking real, bro. And like, obviously, this is a real person. The people that you think are superhuman that normally bounce back to things, you know, are very human like us. But, you know, I'm just continue to pray for his family, man. Like, my man got kids, you know, his ex-wife is still by his side to this day right now. She's the one who's like, obviously kind of being the leaf of letting everybody know, like, nah, that's true. Nah, that's false. That's, you know, this, that, and, you know, obviously having to, you know, be by his side throughout jail and, you know, battling that stuff. So, yeah, man, I hope that, I don't even really know what to say. Cause I mean, I don't want to be like, the last time I felt like this was Lamar Odom, bro. I'm not gonna lie. Damn. And obviously he bounced back. So where the statements were close to this, you know what I'm saying? Where everybody's like, damn, yo, there's no hope. And then, you know, so I have that much faith that he will be okay. I just hope that by the time this episode comes out, we don't have any, you know, worst news.
Yo, when I heard it, I'm with you, Trey. Like, my first thought was like, nah, no way. You know what I mean? Like, nah, no way. We just seen dude, right? And then I get it, but I've been extremely disappointed with how everyone just is so quick to just tweet out whatever it is and put it out there or whatever that they're hearing or whatever. I think in times like this, people should just be respectful. I get that everyone has a job. Everybody's trying to do what they got to do. But at the same time, I feel like you know, at this point, his ex-wife, has basically taken point on a situation, right? Like, everybody should just be respectful and just let, you know, let the news come from her. You know what I'm saying? And because I just hope by the time this comes out, you know, everything's still all good. Dude was soup. I'm glad he got his roses when he got them. You know, me personally, I don't know how about y'all, but like I was low key hype or excited when Swiss started putting out the rumors that they were in the studio together. You know, not necessarily because I wanted to hear what he had to say, but more so, you know, just happy for dude that, you know, he's back to something, at least one thing that we all can agree that he loved at some point in time. So maybe that will help him stay on the right track. So definitely pulling for the homie, mad prayers and everything.
All right, let's lighten up the mood a little bit. Let's talk about another one of these damn versus battles that swept the nation. Even as some people were watching, like, the women's college championship, it was funny looking at the timeline. Some people are like, oh my God, Stanford. They're like, oh my God, in between the sheets. It was just fun to see.
Like, that's hilarious.
The contrast. These cats went for 4 hours, bro.
Yeah.
Four.
And they could have went. Risley, 82 years old, bro.
Yeah.
Out there, just doing his thing.
Let me just say right now, I said this on Levitard's show. Every woman between the ages of 25 and like 35 that I follow was all, I mean, all of them were all about this Ronald Isley life. They were like, huh. I could tell from the Instagram and the tweets, they were all reconsidering how old is too old, because they was with it. They was with it. With Mr. Biggs, I guess, even though he's probably like 4'9" or whatever, he's 82 years old. These women, they sent the swag, man, and they responded to it. I was kind of surprised by that. I was wondering what my man from Earth, Wind, and Fire must have felt.
Are you really that surprised?
He's not that jiggy though. He wasn't that jiggy on the eye, my man from EWF.
My man with the
You talking about?
He ain't that jiggy. Nah,
that's a different. That was a different level.
We're gonna talk about that on the show too. About being the same age, but looking two different ways.
Oh my God! I mean,
I know which way I'm not trying to look.
I feel you. I feel you. Let's highlight on there. But it, like you mentioned, you know, he was, you know, obviously the shade rooms and these different blog sites tag and give the hilarious title of the, you know, Zaddy or Granddaddy, and put Mad Wise at the end. And, you know, obviously trying to say, you know, would you, you know, obviously spin off and get the story. But I really wanted to highlight and talk about the music, bro. I want to talk about how it wasn't even close, for one, which you mentioned before. And then let's. And
by the way,
they did
a lot better than I thought.
Yeah, they. But that's what I'm saying.
Y'all don't think that joint was close?
No.
No.
Wow.
No. But wow. I wanted to highlight how like the Isley Brothers pioneered music, right? And how four generations have sampled their music to create hits that we love today. And I want to go through these lists, bro, of all the artists. I have them here because I have playlists that I'll just be making this shit too. Of the artists that have been sampled. The Isley Brothers samples, right? So we have Big Papa by Biggie.
Right. Are you going this is off of In Between the Sheets or all of this?
Here we go.
Because I'm gonna tell you why. Because artistic
Between the Sheets, yeah.
To did his little mix, and he said like 140 songs have sampled In Between the Sheets, which is in fucking sane, right?
But like, listen, Ignorant Shit, Jay and Beanie, Summer with Miami, Jim Jones, Funkified, DeBrat, The Most Beautiful Thing in the World, Keith Murray.
These are all mega hits. Off of one song, off of one sample.
It Was a Good Day, Ice Cube.
Jeez.
That one's not In Between the Sheets. What's that one? That's yes.
I by Kendrick Lamar. That's the I Love Myself. But yeah. You know that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Royal Flush, Big Boy, Andre, 3000, Raekwon.
Yep.
Tupac, Bury Me a G.
Yep.
The INC Ride by Master Ace Incorporated.
Mm.
One Day by UGK. Mm-hmm. So Far to Go by Common and D'Angelo. Mm. Hip Hop Parade, Naughty by Nature. The Crossroads, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
What? Wait.
Wait, this is all still from In the Sheets? Oh
no, yeah. Not In the Sheets.
No, not just the
Eyes decided. Yeah.
Damn. But like, yo, all these are hits too. Like, this isn't somebody just sampled and they had a dud.
Without a Doubt by Black Sheep. Daily Routine by Joey Badass. A Week Ago by Too Short and Jay-Z.
Mm.
Yes, Yes, Y'all by Will Smith and Camp Lo. Hello by Erykah Badu. Mm. Receipt by Lil Wayne. Mm. 25 to Life by D Nice. What's Beef by Notorious B.I.G.
Mm. Wait. Damn.
Life Under the Scope, Currency. Them Changes, Thundercat. Tell Me Something Good, DJ Screw and UGK. Mm. Shake Your Thang, Salt and Pepper. B-Boy, what is that? Bullaboys by Beastie Boys. I don't even know how to say that.
That's somebody white.
Yeah. Public Enemy, Shut Them Down. Aaliyah, At Your Best, You Are Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Audio 2, Questions. Bone Thugs and Harmony, Buddha Lovers. And 3-6 Mafia, Ghetto Chick.
Hey man, that's crazy. Their music. Here's the thing about them: it's not just the music got sampled that much, Trey, but they're one of the rare musical acts. Like, first of all, I was shocked to find out how many people didn't know that "Shout" was a Isley Brothers song. I'm like, where y'all been? How did you not know that?
Because I never really paid it. It's first of all. That's like 59, right? To me, they sound completely different, right? Everything I've ever heard Shout, it's always been like the Temptations and all that shit. So honestly, truthfully, I knew it had to come from somewhere. I just never really thought where it would come from, because it's like, yo, it's just a song that everybody that's dope, that's black, sings. That's done it. You sing that song at one point, yeah.
But here's the wild part. So that song came out in the 50s, right? And it's a very 50s sounding ass sound, right? You know, you make me wanna shout, everybody, everybody. Like, it sounds like a 50s song, right? But these niggas have basically put out music consistently, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. And you know what I said? What, name another artist that has consistently put out music that didn't sound like they were doing the same old shit that they got hot off of. They evolve with music over time to the point where it's like, it's people our age and it's grandmamas that were watching that Versus yesterday and singing along all these songs. So I'm trying to think, the only motherfuckers I could think of who have that was Michael Jackson, but then he died. So, and it's not like he was putting out hot shit when he died, right? The last.
You mean like, you mean comparable, or you just saying
in terms of like Michael Jackson was putting out song like with the Jackson 5 and then solo, and in every decade up until he died, right? The last 2000s, I guess he did put out Invincible in the 2000s, and then he died in 2009. So, but I can't think of anyone else whose their sound is evolving with the sensibilities of everybody. Prince. What other artist is there?
How long, right? When did Prince come out?
Prince came out in the 80s.
Damn.
Because I was thinking about Prince and I thought about Madonna, but both of them came out in the 80s. So they did 80s, 90s.
Jackson 5 was 2000s. The 70s.
Right, like. Yeah, I mean, Jazz 5 was before. I mean, Michael Jackson, when was Michael Jackson's first song? Like, it might have been in the 50s, man.
No, it's definitely not the 50s. No way. It's 60s.
It's 60s. Yeah. You're right. 60s. He's born in 58. That's my fault. I was getting gassed. But 60s.
I mean, shit. He was five, right? Like, he was like five or something.
That's what I'm saying.
So you weren't that far off.
60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. Dude did five decades where he was putting out bangers that sounded like the music of the time, not like, you know what I'm saying? Now,
yeah.
Some people might say Jay-Z. I don't feel like he, I mean, I don't know.
Nah. Because, I mean, you figure, but even no matter what your perspective is on the shit he puts out, it's only the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and we just entered 2020s. Yeah. He hasn't put shit out.
Right, right.
So that's only 30 years. I mean, that's still crazy, though.
Yeah, man. It's pretty insane.
It's respect insane. To the OGs, man, hanging in there, you know.
Nah, man.
Laying the blueprint down.
Let's give some love for Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Them motherfuckers. Oh, yeah, look, for sure.
I'm confused why y'all said it's a wash.
They closed it off.
No, it was a wash. It was a wash.
It's still a wash, bro.
No. I definitely believe the Isleys had the better moment. Hell, Isley Brothers didn't get up one time to sing with them on their shit. It was, you know, them singing on their joint. So I get that. But I thought the Isley Brothers were going to wash them. I was actually shocked at how many how many bangers they had. I think the Isleys catalog being so crazy, you know what I mean, it's hard picking, even though they went like 30 songs.
Everfire got bangers, bro. September.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the Way of the World, Boogie Wonderland, Shining Star, Fantasy, After the Love Is Gone, Sing a Song.
And they was dancing.
The reasons, bro. Can't Hide Love, Getaway, In the Stone, Mighty Mighty, Serpentine Fire, Keep Your Head to the Sky, Devotion, Saturday Night, I'll Write a Song for You.
You need devotion.
Bro, they got all the fucking.
They got some sampled ass songs too, by the way.
Yeah.
They got cookout bangers.
And Izzy's just got bangers for everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. They didn't get washed, though. It was a nice little fight.
I feel bad that Ronald Isley, like, yo, one of his most iconic characters, Mr. Big, is kind of kind of canceled, right?
Yo, they actually performed that shit, bro, from the ball.
Performed it, bro. Dude.
Which one? Which song did they do? I didn't see the whole thing. I wasn't there for 4 hours.
Contagious.
Oh, Contagious.
Give
me all you got.
I got to do what I got to do, but I'm going to be respectful. I know what y'all don't want to hear. We're not even going to have that part come up. We're going to cut it off as soon as.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah. Well, no, was it that one? Did he do whole Contagious and cut another song off?
Bald dude too. Had my man Ron Isley in the Paul Pierce jersey in the mink.
Yo, by the way, I don't know if y'all saw, you know, Afion Crockett and Spice Adams.
Hilarious.
After every versus, they do like a post game.
Godfrey had to beat Harvey, though.
So they dress up. Yeah. So they dress up. They do it for every versus. Every versus, they'll do it immediately after it's over. The post show, they'll do their own post show where each one will dress up like one of the people who's in the versus. And I'm surprised every time, like, yo, they kind of look like them niggas. But I was thinking, like, when I was watching the, I was like, there's no way they can do this one. And lo and behold, not only did these niggas dress up like fucking Spice had the mink on and the fucking hat and the glasses. And he painted his face silver. And then Afion had the fucking wig and the guitar. And then to top it all, they added Godfrey. Godfrey had the hat and a purple shirt. Just like, I'm like, did these niggas get like a look at what they were going to be wearing tonight? How do they scrounge the material that quick? But you know, Godfrey, man, he been doing that Steve Harvey impression.
He sounds just like that nigga too.
What? I'm from Cleveland. Yo, the funniest shit was, because this shit really happened, when Steve Harvey was like starting. By the way, Steve Harvey would not shut the fuck up. This nigga felt the need shut to tell a story up. For yo, every song.
He'd have versus Chris Webber, bro.
But yo, when he started the show, he was like, all right, DJ Nice, go ahead. You know, them niggas, Godfrey and them, they fucking worked that one into the ground. They just keep saying, hey, DJ Nice. And my funniest shit is, like, when you watch the actual verses, DJ Nice, like after they're done talking, he about to start saying, Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the Versus. It's me, DJ D-Nice. And they emphasize it so hard. Like, you know, when you're trying to be respectful that somebody fucked your name up, but you also want to let people know he fucked my name up. Oh, my God. Yo, this shit was funny, man. Where does this rank for you guys in terms of Versuses?
I only caught a little bit of it, but I heard from what I've read, audio, visual was elite. And that Triller, since they're making the switch, since they made the switch to Triller, Triller has it down pat, and that they need to do maybe some of the artists that were early on the IG platform.
Oh, redo it?
To redo them. Because I would love to see the Dream or, you know, certain people. I need the Dream to go against somebody actually solid, though. I can't just be seeing them out here smoking people.
You know who they're going to bring back. If they're going to bring anybody back, they got to bring back Teddy and Babyface.
No, Nelly and Ludo is the one I was thinking about. Where Nelly talking about it's a storm. That's why my Wi-Fi is bad. I'm like,
Nelly also played B-side tracks. Nobody wanna hear that shit.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I hope this nigga learned his lesson, come back and actually play the shit that people want to hear.
Yeah.
Either way, Twitter's gonna have a field day with it, because if he changes it up, everybody's gonna call it how ass the shit was before. And if he doesn't change it up, some niggas never learn.
Nah, you got to switch it up, man. And if they hate, then let them hate. Watch the money pile up.
And watch the money pile up.
Yo, the other person who's like a star of these things is Tony Baker, man. This dude.
Oh, in the comments.
In the comments, he said Steve Harvey having the time of his I hate rap life right now. What else did he say? He said, stop smoking in these men's faces. he was just roasting Steve Harvey. He said, I want to web sling that cigar right out of his hand. Steve said, worldwide, globally. That's like me staying in the house domestically. Shout out to the R&B singer that will not be named that gave Ron Isley a musical resurrection. Oh, that's a shame. And then finally, I keep score on every Versus. I don't care if it's Jesus and Muhammad. I'm keeping score. Mr. Big's going to take Steve to the desert to shatter his knees. Man, I don't know what song was being played at this moment, but he said, I can taste the segregation in this classic. I was bald when this Versus started. Now I got the George Jefferson cul-de-sac going.
Sick.
Shout out to Tony, man.
Oh, that shit was 4 hours.
4 hours long, man. 4 hours.
Four hours, bro. They cut them niggas off. They pulled the plug, nigga.
Yo, they did like this joint. They did a whole halftime show. They talking about 10 minutes. That joint was like 20, 25 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes long or whatever. Well, it felt like 30. Like, it was way too much. I can't do that again, please.
Yeah, no, like 4 hours. I mean, I get it. They've got amazing catalogs, but like, we can't do no 4 hour show.
Yeah.
But you know, 4 hours, 2.5 hours with Steve Harvey talking.
That shit's a black church, dog.
Shout out to Swiss. Shout out to Swiss for making the bat call down there during that little break and telling Steve, shut the fuck up. Somebody had to say something. I mean, I saw someone post a tweet. I have no idea if he did, but he posted a tweet saying, someone posted a tweet saying like his, like, you know, his comment, it was from, it said something like, had to make a call or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? During the intermission. I don't know. That shit probably fake, but somebody called down there. Like somebody had
kept talking, bro. I'm like, I don't care where you were, bro.
And just lying. It's just lying. Like, don't get me wrong. This all like songs that come on and we all just go like, damn, I remember. But yo, if I play 33 songs, you try to tell me for the first 22, every song I play, you just got a crazy memory? Story.
Nah, a crazy memory connected with it? Like, come on, bro.
Hey, man.
I have 33 memories from my youth.
But I also think about, all right, in this situation, right, it's probably an ideal dream situation for him. He's hosted so many times. But to be in front of an iconic band that he grew up listening, what verses would you like to host if you had the chance to host?
What verses would I like to host? Ooh, I would say Jay-Z versus Nas.
I like that.
Because I lived it, man. I remember going through that. Like, I remember, like, both of those guys coming up. Either that or I really still want to do the 3-6 versus Cash Money. Was it Cash Money or No Limit we were talking about?
I think it was Cash Money.
Cash Money.
Yeah, man. I really want to do that one. Because that one could be fun. I have a feeling that one will be fun.
Yeah. Jerv, how about you?
So, Hov Nas was definitely on my list, but I definitely, if so with that being taken, I could really go for Beans Kiss, like a Beans Kiss one. Because like you just said, like I lived it, you know what I mean? And I would just love.
You biased, bro. You can't, we can't.
Nah, bro, like I would be barbara. Kiss won that battle. I die on the hill on that, John. I'm in barbershops during the heat of battle arguing that shit. Kiss winning this, John.
I don't believe you would say that if you were in person.
Oh, no, there's no reason to. I'm being respectful. No, like there's no reason. Like I'm not going to be there to be biased.
Speaking of which, well, Trey, real quick, what would yours be?
Probably DJ Quick, MC8.
Okay, so I'm glad. There you go. I was going to transition and then you said it right there. All right. Did y'all watch that video I posted?
I missed it, but I know the story a little bit.
Okay, so for those that don't know, the man who was formerly known as Mob James, who was the muscle at Death Row, is got a podcast now. He's a super OG, triple OG, and his podcast is with MC8, and it's put out by Charlamagne. Charlamagne's podcast network, The Black Effect. And so I stumbled upon this episode where they were talking about a lot of different things. But one of the things they talked about was this idea of like rap beef, right? And how much of that is actually kind of permeates the rest of it. And Mob James is talking about how, like, because the third dude whose name escapes me, I don't know who the third dude is, but he was talking about, like, we never felt, it's kind of like what Trey said, we never felt like we couldn't listen to music. Y'all beefing, like, I'm just here for whatever the good music is. So they never stopped listening to different music. But Mob James was like, I had to stop because, like, that shit rises to a different level for them because 8 is Crippin. And Quick is blood affiliated. And so when this thing is happening, it's not just a rap beef. It turns into a neighborhood. It's a gang beef. It's a neighborhood beef. And it was, I knew that they had beef because I remember if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. But I never, like, I didn't know no details. So Trey, could you walk me through the details of that beef?
Yeah, I mean, Compton is just Compton, bro. Like, you got the gang stuff. You got guys just saying who's really that and who's not. And that was actually a thing back then. You know what I'm saying? Because 8 went on and did all this other stuff as far as, like, movies. And he had his career. And it's like, who's really a gangster and who's not? And Quick's like, but nigga, I'm from Treetop and I'm really a blood and I'm really doing this, that, and the third, you know what I'm saying? But what are you doing? So, and you know, obviously when he dropped the diss, shit is still one of the rudest diss outside of, you know, No Vaseline. But he's like, yo, I just want to go through the lyrics of this, dog, because he said that he pretty much wasn't a G because, you know, no, you spell your name with MC. You spell your name 8 without, because the G ain't in you.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? The beef in general just is always based on the streets and never about the music because they're from two different parts, both West Side Compton, but 8 being over there, you know, being on that side and then Quick being on the blood side, you got the homies hyping you up. You know what I'm saying? Because it was for a time, like, niggas was debating if they even wanted to accept Snoop Dogg in Compton. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Right, right.
Because it's like, not predominantly Crips, bro.
Yeah.
Imagine a blood knee over there, like, okay, what that nigga say? That's like, I mean, obviously frats don't gangbang, but y'all have a liking to who y'all are. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to just be slapping some Q's music, bro. And be like, nah, my nigga,
that's Atomic Dog.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas going to be looking like, Jerk, what you own, bro? You feel me? Yeah. So, you know, the beef actually started when DJ Quick dropped the Red Tape. And it was an underground mixtape. And pretty much after that, it was a battle between the record labels, actually, you know what I'm saying? And MC8 pretty much, his record label, CMW, which was Compton Most Wanted, responded with Duck Sick. So it was like a exchange of words. And it was in, you know, he sampled EPMD's Jane. And then pretty much he came back with Death Wish. So his boys was hyping him up. You know what I'm saying? So when Quick came back, you know, and all that other stuff, it started with the feud, and then they just kind of went back in the situation. But it was good for hip hop and their sales, but Quick wasn't on that. He took it too serious. He like, bro,
right?
Like, if I see you, I'm gonna beat your ass. You know what I'm saying? Right. And 8 like, nigga, this shit is good for both of us. I'm selling records, you selling records, I'm doing movies, nigga, you producing shit, but you really wanna fight me. And you know what I'm saying? Quick was still on that fuck them shit. But like, now they've been able to obviously put it behind them. They're fucking 50 some years old, but
yeah,
this is a lot.
Mob James was talking about, like, I didn't even listen to rap, but like, I would drive through certain neighborhoods and be bumping Quick just to let people know, like, know the deal or whatever, that they were repping a set or whatever. The other thing they talked about was, or maybe I read up on it. No, they talked about it. They talked about how, like, what went wrong at Death Row. Mm. And they said, and I was surprised about this. He said, because Suge basically fucked up. Because when he started, he said he brought us in to be the muscle or whatever.
Yep.
But he was kind of a low-key dude. He said, if you even think about his early appearances, the nigga would be wearing like a green sweatsuit or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. He wasn't. And he said, I can't remember what incident it was, but them dudes, they got in a fight basically. And they beat somebody ass or whatever. And he didn't, like, he didn't get up, but didn't actually get up. But he kind of felt himself. He felt the power or whatever. He said, after that, that nigga started wearing red suits and shit like that. We were like, yo, man, like, you're supposed to be keep it low. This dude is out here, you know, promoting it or whatever. And then the final thing he said, it was like, because someone asked, like, did it happen when Pac got there? He said, no, it had already started. He'd already started to lose his way. Before Pac got there, but Pac getting there was just like the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, if you look at it, like, a lot of people don't know, Suge was basically a star at Linwood High football, got a chance to play at UNLV, even made it to the camp team with the Rams. And after that, you know what I'm saying? He always was a big dude, but like, never really getting into the funk. But he lived in the mob. His mama lived in the mob, you know what I'm saying? And when you got homies that you went to school with and you connected with, you know, you got that, people love you and they fucking with you. So when he started Death Row, and obviously, like he said, with my, you know, bringing everybody over, it's just the power and knowing what he really can do with it. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously niggas wasn't bang. It's called banging on wax, right? When you rap and bang,
right?
It wasn't a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, some gangbangers actually was, I don't know who I played it for, whether it was you or Jerv, Pyru Love. But banging on wax was actually blood gangs in Compton and Crip gangs in Compton. And they made a compilation CD.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And all those dudes died, bro.
The cover was them holding the shit together, the two rags.
So, but they were trying to live two lives, bro. They're like, okay, red and blue make green. That's how we got off this crayon shit. And it lasted a blink because money. Yeah. Money, bro. Like, nah, you can't diss me. And you got homies that don't rap, like, oh, you gonna let him say that about us?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like the situation. So even you think about the other guys that weren't really active like that, like Quick and 8, but they could rap really good. They were representing for their neighborhoods and for the actual set. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to talk about that obviously in Snowfall, because I got it's on. I feel like Snowfall is preparing us for what really happened in real life in the 90s when it gets into the 90s. So, you know, I'm gonna save that transition. But yeah, nah, they really were the two pivotal guys, and which I mentioned about in the Biggie doc, or you know, in the Biggie situation, was that Quick would get blamed for so much shit because he was the only active blood before Game. You know what I'm saying? Right, like, we didn't think about what Game is doing. He would have been dead, bro. He would have been dead. Cause that ain't.
So that's the story he told. Oh my God. So he tells the story. This is so James tells the story.
He's Game's like super duper. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, because think about it, bro. When Certified Gangsters came out and Jim Jones and all these them niggas wouldn't have been coming to Compton, bro. It wasn't even that type of time, bro. It wasn't even that welcoming. You can't,
bro. I'm gonna tell you right now. James is talking about like it was him and a couple of the homies, and they were in a limo, and DOC was, I guess he was drunk or whatever, got in the limo, got in the driver's seat, pushed that shit to 90 miles an hour or whatever down an alley. And he said one of the homies basically just took out the gun and was about to shoot this thing in the back of the head. And Jay's like, no, we got to stop him or whatever. And so they stop eventually. They got him out. They slapped him up, DOC, and basically told, like, Suge, get your motherfuckers in line. Like, it was, but he's like, he had to, James had to be the one to explain to everybody else, like, that nigga's the money, so don't fuck it up or whatever. But at the same time, he's like, that's what Suge should have been doing, but Suge had no control. Like, he just wanted that chaos. And they said the final straw was Pac. And so they didn't have a problem with Pac until he started claiming the set and claiming the neighborhood and talking shit. And like, yo, this is a real shit for us here, man. You can't just pop up and claim it out the blue. So it was a real interesting conversation, I thought, you know. And one thing they talked about was why boys in Men of Society, they didn't have no gangs in it. And MC8 was talking about, like, yeah, man, like, they knew that was a conscious decision because they knew if they made it on some gang shit, like, the movie would just erupt in violence. Like, it would
inspire. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, not even inspire. Like, the shits wouldn't even, like, they said that movie wouldn't last in theaters.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't, because even, I don't know if you ever knew about Magic Johnson Theaters, right? And Magic Johnson bought this, like, that was probably one of his first business ventures. And nigga used to be like, yo, they had security kicking niggas out if you sagged.
Man, that's crazy.
Because that was all the, you know, how Scottsdale where niggas like, no Jordans, no sagging, because that nigga's ready to fuck some shit up. Or it's a nigga in the parking lot waiting, it's a nigga across the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't even make businesses no more. If you see a business with a ordering window with your back facing the streets, those are no longer the thing, bro. They was getting killed, bro, because you see in all the movies, niggas creeping up.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? The movies also created turning the lights off, drive-by.
On the car?
It was walk-ups, nigga. Niggas is doing walk-ups, dog. They didn't do that. Once they seen that in the movie, then they start doing it.
Really?
Yes, they created that. Niggas wasn't that clever to be like, turn the lights off.
Right. Niggas wasn't that clever.
That's strategic as fuck. Like, niggas wasn't thinking like that. It's just like, all right, I'm going to put my hood on. I'm going to put my bandana over my heat and get on and run. Nigga ain't thinking about, all right, let's go get a bucket, get in the car, hang out the window. And, it don't work like that. But yeah, they created that shit and made it a thing. So, but it helped because it saved my life, because I look at it like, hey, y'all see that car?
Yeah.
Now, because I know, bro, because it created that reality for us now. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that, but it was going up because, you know, when we get into Snowfall, though, I want to talk about when Leon went to the projects and he
let's
had
get
to
into
bring,
it now. Yeah, nigga. Let's get it to now. He had to go see Fatback's cousin, who's, I guess, King Crip or whatever. what's my man name?
Yo, I don't know his hood name, but he was buff.
I laughed so hard when they said, all right, we'll take, when Jerome squashed the beef, whatever, and said, we'll even take a couple of your soldiers. And he said, you could have Einstein. And they got glasses on. Yeah. I was fucking dying.
That nigga said, what's such and such and buy such and such? He was like, 39 million. I was like, nigga, this nigga, bro. That would have been me, bro. That would have been me. I would have been the nigga just crunching numbers, bro. But that
so,
was
a, so go ahead. Yeah. So a couple, just before you, I know you're about to get into that. I just want to let people know what happened. The last episode, we got John Baxter, the dude at the shelter, ODing basically. You got Franklin and Peaches are being followed. You got Leon is back in the hood, and everybody's wearing blue now because it's the Crippin and the Projects. Alton wants Sissy to quit. Sissy and Franklin to quit, but that ain't gonna happen. They got a war bounty out on Leon's head, and motherfuckers are out here killing the wrong people. And let's see what else. Oh, Teddy's going crazy. Okay, so we start with Leon in the hood, going back to the projects, going over to Fatback's cousin, trying to make right, break him off, and the cousin wasn't trying to hear it.
Yeah, man, he wasn't trying to hear it. But then also, like, yeah, think about it. Like, niggas was out there hitting pig iron all the time. And what we mean by pig iron, if you don't know, it's the old school weights. So it's them penny weights, like, oh, where you got them on the side. But niggas would have them in the yard or out. And, you know, you go get locked up, you come home, it was about getting swole. You know what I'm saying? And that pump fear in guys' heart, or made it seem like you was just like the champion of the world. Like, it's like to intimidate, right? So when he actually, you know, homie hit with the Jerry curl that came with him, he said, damn, man, old school nigga wanted to squab.
Yeah.
He said, it's only a few real ones left, because they were transitioning into the violent period. Because you could, back in the day, you could go fade. You can fight and still live and go back home.
Well, that's that Big U shit, right? That
was Big U shit. Like, all right, I'm going to beat your ass, but I ain't going to kill you.
Right.
And, you know, or y'all just going to duke it out. I mean, you know, obviously in the New York movies, niggas be pulling out pocket knives and shit, you know, beat street shit. and you get one casualty because a nigga just played dirty that way.
Right.
The guns wasn't there yet because niggas didn't have access to guns. You see motherfucker try to take Leon out with a motherfucking pistol starter, motherfucking handgun, you know what I'm saying? But then also, Saint's dad, you know, the crack epidemic, they start finding people, you know, obviously like, yo, The Rock and Hart, and they starting to break it down now. Like, yo, this is a whole nother beast. And the police is joking around, but he like, and we starting to find more of them. And that's how he went out. And, you know, Alton's not like understanding it yet, because he's never seen that type of high yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Cause other people are just kind of like, you zombied out, but you ain't been on that rock yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then Leon, you know, obviously he goes, he sees Jerome, and Jerome obviously now finally is useful with his OG card, because gangbanging really matters. Right. So Jerome says gangbanging's more than money and color. It's about community, which has always been the push of why gangs started. It's protection. Right. It's like, you know, the white cops and da da da. And, you know, after the Panthers, this is what it was. Watts and moving on. And now he had that card of like, nigga, I'm your OG Crip and you gonna respect me. And he had that line to an extent. And it's like, I'm gonna give you a pass because you with this OG nigga.
Right.
But again, you have to look at it that way. So I was glad that Jerome obviously get to put his foot down and look positive in the situation.
But it's also funny how, like, cause it wasn't about money. So in order to earn their trust, like the first thing that is, they got him a new washing machine. I don't know if y'all noticed that. Mm-hmm. They replaced the washing machine out there. And then Jerome is grilling up burgers and shit. And it's all just kind of like letting them know, hey, we just here because we looking out for y'all, basically. Yeah. Like, I like that.
Like, we didn't forget about y'all.
Right, like exactly. Because it ain't like I said, it's not just the overhead. You take care of a lot of people, Fatback used to.
It's the community effort. Yep. Irene's storyline shouldn't be there. I think it's a filler. It's whack.
Irene.
I mean, she's the writer, reporter.
The reporter.
The reporter. But like, it's what I see where it's going, man. Like, because basically Alton fucked up, man.
How do y'all feel about him writing?
So no, I'm gonna get there, bro. I'm glad when Alton got slopped, when he got slapped, bro, he turned into Shakespeare. That nigga started, and then Franklin. That probably was slapping Alton was the best thing Saint had done all season. That's the best move he made. Because it was like, bro, you've been saying, trying to trust the system and everything's going to go this way. You got motherfucking Teddy going rogue. You got Leon turned up.
Teddy's falling apart, bro. Well, he kidnapped the tripping. Bank dude. Kidnapped him, talking about UKGB and shit like that. And my man was just like, just scared. He didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Which call obviously took the money, right?
Who? You think Avi stole the money?
I mean, he had to, right? Like that's the reason he popped up at the end. Yo, he came with the police.
Avi
didn't come like by him, like on his own to stop it. He came with the police. Like to me, you stole the money. Yeah, like yo, you the feds. I mean, I know I'm the feds, but like you the feds, you called the feds on me.
But the only thing that makes me say no, Jerv, is that because the bank manager earlier said she knew who stole it and they caught him and they reversed the money. Like there's someone working in the bank. If it was Avi, I guess, I mean, if they're both in on it and he breaking her off.
But
yeah, man.
He's sleazeball.
He is a sleazeball.
He look like I mean they casted a perfect person. He's a sleazeball. He looks like a sleazeball.
Yeah.
He did it. I don't care what y'all say. He did it.
Oh man, I just remembered when Franklin slapped his dad. He said, "Don't ever call me son again." I was like,
I loved it. Cause I just like, yes, nigga, about time, bro. Ditch the fucking weak ass cane. Obviously, you can't walk. I'd rather just gangster it out. But you looking weak out here, nigga. You gotta establish your strength. You know what I'm saying? He trying to have best of both worlds, my nigga. He trying to have a happy family. And then a nigga out here got trying to run a drug empire.
He trying to be James St. Patrick.
Yeah. In the 80s, bro. Out here.
How does the government's this, that, and the third? How does he all of a sudden just be like, yo, I'm about to just trust him?
I think they just knew too much, and obviously, you know, him trying to just be an overall good person, not understanding that you can't trust it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, he just just looking at it like, okay, if I could do this, my family will be spared. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do right by my son. He already, because every time he'd be like, yo, son, just stay home and watch a movie. Hey, son, go ahead and do this. Hey, son, it's old time. Let's just get some ice cream. And it's like,
he really do be having some condescending as, hey, I was thinking me and you could just go get some ice cream.
Like, nigga, I am a grown ass man that can barely walk, bro. And you out here trying to keep me in the house. I'm going to do. And the only thing the nigga Frank can be like, love you, dad. All right, my nigga. Like, and they think this is actually snitching is going to actually do right.
But see, here's the thing. I don't think he's so. This is, I'm gonna try and justify what he's doing. I don't agree with it all. The whole time I was like, "What are you doing, you dumb nigga?" But this is what I think he thinks he's doing, because she brought it to him that it is CIA that's doing it, and he's got his Black Panther shit in his past where he's thinking to himself like, "The CIA is the ops. You can't be trusted. Whatever." So he's thinking, I'm going to expose the CIA, but like protect my family. Like he thinks that she's going to be cool, not going to name names on their side. Just point out like, look, this is happening with the CIA. And then he's thinking, oh, and then we'll get away or whatever. But then motherfuckers had to tell him like, look, first of all, we're not going to no fucking Cuba looking over our shoulders, bro. Like, cause again, it's not like you running away from another gang or the LAPD. It's the CIA fucking A. Like, they go everywhere.
They ain't got no iPhone. They ain't got nothing.
You don't know their peoples.
Yeah, man.
They can be anybody. Everywhere.
They'll take anybody out. They're taking out heads of state. You don't think they can take out a fucking drug dealer from fucking South Cuba, Central.
They wouldn't even make it to Cuba. Like they wouldn't even make it.
Absolutely not.
They packed their bags, and by the time they walked to the car, it's a wrap.
Yeah,
man. Like that's how them niggas do. So, like, that's what makes him super naive. But I see what I think he was going for. I think he also thought, like, if I force their hand, they're going to do it. Because he'd been, like, the reality is it's not just about the CIA. The reality is, like Trey said, he's seeing the effects of the crack epidemic on the streets. He's seeing what his son's business is doing to the community. Yeah. And so he thought he could press them, and they weren't getting pressed. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to force a hand by putting a story out. So now they got to quit. And obviously he didn't think that like he would get smacked the fuck up, pistol whipped out here. Don't ever call me son again. Yeah. Like,
does she die before the story comes out?
Well, it's already the end of the episode. We already see the editors at the paper.
Yeah, that shit about to roll out.
I thought they were waiting on it. I didn't think they had it already.
It looked like they were reading.
Okay.
It looked like everybody was reading through files and stuff. So,
unless someone shuts it down within the paper.
I guess.
The internet has not out.
You have to burn down the fucking news shit, bro. And damage some files or some shit.
Let me ask y'all this. Who do y'all think was following Franklin and Peaches when they were on the way to the drop?
What you call it?
Man Boy. It wasn't Man Boy specifically, but I think it was Man Boy's crew trying to, because, you know, he said, nigga, you the only nigga with the plug. Remember they were having that argument?
Right.
He's like, oh, yeah, but what if you're plugged on such and such? So I think he's just trying to, you know, because he said he was plotting, you know what I mean? He working on something. So I don't think, obviously, Man Boy is specifically trying to follow up with this whole plan to avenge his niece's death.
Right.
I think he's trying to get the plug and, you know, take over.
Yeah. Speaking of the niece's, avenging the niece's death, they put a bounty out on Leon's head. Two dumbass hood rats fucking killed the wrong nigga just because he got an afro.
Yo, the nigga with the fro was just doofed out in the trunk.
Yo, man.
That's crazy.
The worst part, that's the wrong time to
nothing.
Like, and it's a $5,000 bounty. So they were like, that ain't him. Get the fuck out of here. And he's like, she's like, yo, how about $4,000? Like, we're not paying you for random niggas. Like, it's just crazy. Like, this bitch tried to barter her way. She tried to barter her way into getting a bounty paid for the wrong nigga. Question, what happens first? Wanda relapsed to the crack or Alton relapsed into the alcohol? That happy sobriety party, I set my alarms off. That means that nigga's gonna get back to drinking soon.
Well, I like how they teased it a little bit where he was at the bar and he ordered a club soda. Reminded me of my days when I was sober and niggas was teasing me.
Did they charge you for that shit, Trent?
Did they charge
club
me?
Soda?
No, they didn't charge me.
Because that nigga paid like $5 for fucking club soda. I'm like, club soda, you cheap bitch. Like, it's just coming out of a gun. Let that nigga live.
Yeah, nah, I remember I was drinking club sodas like they was crazy. Because that was my version of a mocktail just to have something in my hand. Not that I was alcoholic, but nigga, I was just out social and I needed that shit. So I was like, let me have something. At least if niggas keep buying rounds, let me walk around with the club soda.
I've done everything from club sodas to Coke to Red Bull, whatever it takes, just to feel like I'm feel alive.
You got to feel alive, man. You got to feel alive, man. For real.
I got a note here. Louis gonna kill Jerome, man. That nigga keep playing. Like,
nigga, you too reckless out here.
At the party, what are they talking about? Like, because Alton, they're saying he was questioning the Bible when he was younger and like dissecting all that shit or whatever. And they're like, Sissy was like, oh, I'm glad my parents never met him because they would have flipped out. And Louis said something like, oh, what would they think about me? Kind of like, ha ha ha, joking. This nigga Jerome took it too far, man. That nigga took it too far. Oh my God. I'm like, she gonna kill him, bro.
Louis,
she gonna kill him.
Louis on edge already.
Yeah.
She on fucking edge.
It's her fault though.
It is, but at the end of the day, you create a monster. You gotta take out the monster.
Yeah,
man. That's real.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't be making them sly little remarks, Jerome. Yeah. Tell you, bro.
This has nothing to do with anything, but happy birthday to Pharrell Williams, bro. My man turned 48.
Damn. That should have been a topic.
Yeah, man. It's been very instrumental to the rap game.
Favorite. Oh, wow. I can't even say favorite. Pharrell produced song, Neptune song, Pharrell actual song. What do we want to go with here?
I don't know, bro. I don't even have a fave, bro, because I love them all. I'm so biased.
That your favorite producer?
Yeah, he's like my favorite. Like outside of Jordan, he's my like my favorite idol, bro. Like, said,
like for real, person.
He can't. He's like, he can't dress anymore like him and Fab no more, but. But what, just the,
Pharrell dressing goofy too now?
He's embodied the dad shit.
Pharrell's always he's always been distinct in his attire though.
Nah, but he was flashy, bro. He's pushed all after he met Nego, he just put everything away. Like he don't even embrace the shit that he used to love anymore. Like, you know, he used to be gaudy, like, you know, Slick Rick, you know, when he had the chains on and you know, when he, you know, Hello World and da 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 da, like. You know, the chains, the rocks, the radio. He don't talk like that no more. It's obviously like he religious. You know, he a dad, his son like 12. He got fucking quadruplets or whatever the fuck they are. You know what I'm saying? And his whole perspective, he wearing Crocs and shit like me. But my whole thing about, you know, he's just perspective. He ain't, you know, nigga removing his tattoos. You know, this nigga talking about peace. And that's fine. That's growth. But yeah, he just,
I'm about to say, yo, Trey sound like a real nigga right now. This nigga that, being nice and shit, like, well, no, I mean, please and thank you. Fuck out of here.
How dare he?
I'm not sure how you're supposed to, you know, obviously he's a 48-year-old man, but respectively, he's done a lot and he's had his hands in a lot of things. He has like, you know, he's into skincare and he's curating all this other shit. But like, I miss the flashy P. That's the one, that's the Pharrell I grew up on. You know what I'm saying? The skateboarding weird nigga.
But was he ever flashy? Like the nigga was
absolutely.
Always like
the nigga had a 14 karat gold BlackBerry, nigga. Come on. The nigga had
that's pretty flashy.
The nigga had a 14 karat gold iced out Rubik's Cube, nigga. Like the niggas, everything he was doing was very gaudy and like, you know, like, call back, bitch, I brought computers to the hood. Like,
I guess I always think about him as like t-shirt and skinny jeans before that shit was.
Yeah, I mean, because he never been like, even in his Drink Champ shit, he was like, nigga, I never been a tough guy. I know them. But like, if some trouble call, I'm calling the police because, nigga, I'm not going to jail. And I understand it, nigga. It's not. He's like, I'm not snitching, nigga. I'm aware. Like, I've never pursued this. And you got to. He's made it comfortable. This is my homage to him, right?
Right.
He's made it comfortable to be you, to be a black boy and have other interests outside of sports and hip hop. You get what I'm saying? If you want to go skateboard, if you want to be a fucking astronaut, if you want to be into science, Pharrell made that shit okay and still look like you can get girls and still, you know what I mean? Be the nigga like, oh, producer actually cool. This is what a producer looks like. Yeah. A producer can have all this. You know what I'm saying? He's a nigga and making a collabs. He was having super collabs. Super collabs.
And a hairline.
And a hairline, yay. Found the youth.
Did you have the ice creams? I feel like you had.
I got them in there right now. That's my oldest pair right now. Of course. The flips.
Trey had Billionaires Boys Club, whatever. Trey had everything. Yeah. Like, Trey,
I got like, nerd tatted on me, bro.
Oh, man. Yeah. Trey's all way in, man. 10 toes deep. All right.
Favorite song?
Favorite song. I don't know why it's playing over and over in my head, but Frontin'. It's not my favorite song, but that's the only one I can think of right now.
It's hard, though. It's hard.
I am.
Like, I can't live in a world that Frontin' don't exist.
Yeah.
Jer? Mm.
Did he do Allure?
Yeah.
Allure.
Yeah.
See, it's just crazy.
Okay. Oh, we're talking about like songs he produced. Oh, man.
You mean like songs that he's on?
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Oh, shit.
Because produce, I might say like Super Thug, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's hard too. I mean, my
Popular Demand, he's on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just on the hook though. But yeah, I take it. I mean, that's the thing. He doesn't never have like real crazy verses, right? He'll give like he'll create the shit for the cadence of how they supposed to deliver it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And how he wants it sung.
Oh, I got one. No, I'm sorry. It's Mr. Me Too. That's my favorite.
Hard.
Love that song. Hard. I love that song. I love it even more now that I know it's a diss track, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Like,
oh, wait, who's that diss track for?
He's dissing, what's his name, right?
Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wayne. Because they copy bait.
It's everything like.
Oh, I'm thinking about fucking. Oh, wait, Pharrell?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a part of it. He never got into the whole bait. I mean, he never got into the whole dish shit.
I didn't realize Pharrell was. That's crazy. I didn't realize he was talking about him. I'm today, this day old. I didn't realize that.
For me, I'm going to go with Run to the Sun by NERD. Mm. Song just, you know, Bossa Nova Rob. And then,
nice. Uh-huh. No wonder.
Nice. That's a good song, man.
It's a great song. And we're back. And then produced, I would say.
Bossa Nova, they could just bleep it.
Nah, because I don't even want niggas to know anything about me. Produce wise, I would say I really like this song, and it's probably Left Field, Lavish by Twista. She wants the lavish things across the world. If you look in the sky and be, trust me, you can believe it. I can't rap like Twista, but I want that nigga in the verses. Him and Busta Rhymes would be great. Nah,
absolutely.
That would not be good. Nah, at all,
I mean,
actually.
Well, Busta smoked that nigga. You're right.
Also, like, no one wants to hear that shit for fucking 4 hours. Oh, man. All right, man. I think we got it. That's a good episode right there. Shout out to Pharrell. Happy birthday to that man. Shout out to Rob Lopez, the producer. Thank you, Big Jerv. Thank you, Black Trey. This is Black Opinions Matter. Please remember patreon.com/countthedings. Become a Patreon. We've got the overflow episode that we promised you last week finally came up this week. Sorry about that. But it's there. Give it a listen. Enjoy it. Also, check us out on Stereo. Download the Stereo app. That's where we do our live shows, where you can submit questions via voice notes, and we answer them for you live. The next one we're doing is Wednesday, right? Fuck, I keep booking this up. When do we do, Trey, when do we usually do the Stereos?
Tomorrow and Wednesdays. Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it'll be on. If you follow us on Stereo, at Dardamine, at Trayvon, at everybody, you'll figure out. Because when we start, you get a notification, lets you know that we're going live. So be sure to check that out. And also just check out all of our sponsors, man. They're good people. They're giving you guys good deals. They help us out. If you want to support us, support them, because that's how we get supported. Till next time, stay black, motherfuckers. Thank you.